How important is it for us to know what the founders thought about pardon power versus maybe how it's being used in modern times? Is there a big difference between what they thought hundreds of years ago and now?
I think there is, in part because hundreds of years ago, there wasn't a well-developed criminal justice system. There were not, at the time of the founding, it came a few years later, constitutional rights for criminal defendants. There wasn't a well-developed federal judiciary. So the pardon power was really there to ensure there was some measure of justice and mercy. That was the first reason. Now, of course, our system is very well sort of worked out now. And an argument that I make in the book is that if we need to have more justice, we should do it through the courts, not with the unilateral authority of a president who can use it corruptly. The second reason for pardons, and this is the very first pardon in American history, George Washington pardoned the Whiskey Rebels and the Whiskey Rebellion. The second reason is for presidents to pardon large numbers of people in the name of settling the nation after a trauma. And I think that still is a legitimate use of the pardon. But we've seen recently corrupt uses of the pardon for, you know, self-interest, to cover up crimes, to obstruct justice. I don't think, Dimitri, that's what the framers had in mind when they just adopted this broad pardon power from common law English kings.
When we're talking about that corruption you just mentioned, is it solely under the purview of Donald Trump, or have we seen some Democratic presidents also maybe go a bit too far with that pardon privilege?
Well, Bill Clinton, he pardoned family members. He pardoned a financier named Mark Rich that got him in trouble. There was a lot of public scrutiny. George H.W. Bush pardoned people involved in the Iran-Contra affair, and that was critiqued as about covering up potentially his own involvement in that scandal. So we've seen it, but not on the scale that we saw with Donald Trump, not with the brazenness we saw with Donald Trump pardoning people in connection with an investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. And of course, he is the first candidate in history, I think, that is making his platform, his presidential platform for another run, about the pardon power, promising to pardon the people who engaged in the bloody insurrection at the Capitol that ended up in, you know, dozens of wounded people and a number of deaths, and almost was the end of our democracy.
It reminds me a little bit of efforts to rein in the U.S. Supreme Court in terms of thinking that they're kind of floating above the law, can pretty much do whatever they want in terms of billionaires taking them on trips. Isn't it the same kind of challenge, Kim, to try to rein in this pardon power?
It is. And it's interesting you raise that because, as you know, the Supreme Court created criminal immunity for presidents. And in doing so, that was a massive power grab on the part of the court. It's not in the Constitution at all. So they're doing that. And if you take that and add it to the pardon power, where we could be potentially in really big trouble as a nation, because for a president to use official power to commit crimes, which the court has now said is okay and protected from any oversight or scrutiny, he or she would have to get people within the government to do it for them because they're official actors. And the only way to get them to do that is to promise pardon. So if a president's willing to commit crimes in office, which the Supreme Court acknowledges a possibility, that's why they created immunity, to really, really get their bang for their buck, they're going to have to use the pardon power, or somebody who's very cynical would do that. And then you almost have a criminal conspiracy using the greatest powers of the office. It's really breathtaking. And the question is, what is the accountability? And to your point, it's hard to see any right now for the pardon power, and it's hard to see any for the United States Supreme Court, although the difference is Congress could pass laws to constrain the court. Harder to do it with the pardon power.
I see. So it's really more about laying out the issues rather than any remedies?
Well, I argue in the book there are some remedies. I mean, I'm a big fan of disclosure, that Congress could require or at least pass a law, that, and a president would have to ignore it to his political detriment, pass a law requiring pardons to be documented. Why were there pardons? What was the justifications for it? To bring public scrutiny to it, or they could create boards, commissions. This happens at many different states, to give the president recommendations on pardons. Right now, it happens within the Justice Department, and Donald Trump famously sidestepped that. And there's a lot of criticism for prosecutors recommending pardons for the very kinds of things that they prosecute people for. It's kind of a conflict of interest. So it's not impossible to put some serious constraints on it, but it would be impossible to do away with it absent a constitutional amendment, or the Supreme Court could decide to put constraints on the pardon power, as it has done over the years. I think that's a big mythology. There are limits. The court has said, for example, you cannot pardon crimes that have never actually occurred yet. That's not in the Constitution. That's a limitation the court, using common sense and the separation of powers and the notion of no one being above the law, those kinds of things, did impose on the pardon power. I just don't think this particular right-wing court that created immunity is going to have any appetite for constraining the president's monarch-like powers now that it seems to be interested in giving the president.
Maybe not as much attention is paid to governors giving pardons. Do they have all kind of latitude as well?
No, they don't have it in the level that presidents, only a handful across the country, have that kind of unilateral power. As I mentioned, some have commissions, some require the sign off of, you know, others within the government. In Georgia, for example, where Donald Trump's been indicted, you are not eligible for a pardon until 5 years after you've completed your sentence. Now, that's the same under the Justice Department guidelines. But in Georgia, the governor doesn't have the discretion to ignore that recommendation or that requirement. The presidents can just do what they please. So actually, governors who have authority over many, many more people within the criminal justice system, there are many, many more state convictions and federal convictions. Governors, as is the case across the globe, are constrained in their pardon power. Dimitri, this presidential sort of king-like power is very rare on the planet, frankly.